Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this special presentation of the best of the Pigskin Dispatch, this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the WFL's only World Bowl game and the Seattle Seahawks become official, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays, all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com and the SportsHistoryNetwork.com to bring you the football history headlines for December 5th. And we are going to go right at it and start on December 5th, 1914, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto. The sixth Grey Cup was played, and the Toronto Argonauts won the franchise's first championship as they beat the University of Toronto Blues 14-2. Our friends at the99yards.com have a few tidbits on this game that you can catch at pigskindispatch.com for the link. December 5th, 1925, at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa, the Ottawa Senators won their first Grey Cup title by knocking out Winnipeg's Tammany Tigers 24-1 at the 13th Grey Cup game. December 5th, 1931, at Molson Stadium in Montreal, at the 19th Grey Cup, it was the Montreal AAA Winged Wheelers blanking the Regina Rough Riders 22-0 to take home their first Grey Cup championship. 5 years later, December 5th, 1936, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, it was a close one at the 24th Grey Cup as the Sarnia Imperials defeated the Ottawa Rough Riders 26-20 for Sarnia's second championship banner. December 5th, 1942, also Varsity Stadium in Toronto, we assure that the score of this 30th Grey Cup game is indeed a football score and not one from the hockey realm. With World War II in process, the cup had military flavor as the team taking the cup title was the Toronto RCAF Hurricanes as they edged out the Winnipeg Royal Canadian Air Force Bombers 8-5. December 5th, 1943, the merger of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL, referred to by many as the Steagles, dissolved as the season came to an end. The football history dude, Arnie Chapman, has a fantastic podcast dedicated to this merged team, and you can find it by clicking on the History Dude Steagles link that we have on pigskindispatch.com, or go to sportshistorynetwork.com and look up the football history dude and go to that Steagles episode. Anyway, the two organizations combined their resources to be able to survive and field a team as many men of playing age were overseas fighting in World War II. PackersHistory.net serves up the story on how the last game of the merged teams from Pennsylvania's two largest cities was against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay gave the Steagles a very inhospitable farewell party with a 38-28 victory for the Pack. December 5th, 1948, the New York Giants' Charlie Connerly completed 36 passes to set an NFL record for the most completion thrown in an NFL game for that time period. The website footballperspective.com has an interesting article that touches on Connerly's time in the NFL. You can find that link at pigskindispatch.com. December 5th, 1970, at Memorial Coliseum, LA, F64 Sports reports that the fine running back of the Los Angeles Rams, Willie Ellison, rushed for an NFL record of 247 yards in a game against the New Orleans Saints. Ellison started the game off with a bang as he took a handoff on the third play from scrimmage and raced around the end for an 80-yard touchdown sprint. The Rams powered their way to a 45-28 victory, charged by the yards on the ground provided by Willie Ellison. December 5th, 1972, Johnny Rogers, the flanker from the University of Nebraska, claimed the 38th Heisman Trophy Award. December 5th, 1974, the NFL's Seattle Seahawks franchise is officially announced. HistoryLink.org has an excellent presentation with all the details. Pete Rozelle gave the go-ahead to the consortium called the Seattle Professional Football Group, and that group, headed by Lloyd W. Nordstrom, cut a check for a cool $16 million to make the NFL football in Seattle a reality. You'll want to check out the HistoryLink.com article because they also give the answer of what came first, the team or the dome. You can find that link at PigskinDispatch.com for this December 5th Football History Headlines article. December 4th, 1974, the World Bowl. Soon after the AFL-NFL merger in the late 1960s, another group decided it would be a good idea to go head-to-head in competition with the NFL, the World Football League. It was a group headed by Gary Davidson, put together a band of wealthy individuals who threw cash at the league to sign big names off of the NFL's best team at the time, the Miami Dolphins, such as players like Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield, and Jim Kick. Many other NFL teams lost star players to the allure of good pay from the WFL as well. Well, needless to say, the NFL's popularity was still strong enough, and it crushed the WFL like a bug. However, in their 1.5 seasons that they existed, they did have one championship game played, and it was played on December 5th, 1974, and it was called the World Bowl. In the game, the Birmingham Americans claimed the title as they defeated the Florida Blazers 22-21 in a great lone championship game for the league. You can learn more about the WFL from the deadfootball.com website. December 5th, 1981, Marcus Allen, the graceful running back from the University of Southern California, wins the 47th Heisman Trophy Award. The voters could not look past that Allen was the first player in NCAA history to eclipse the 2,000 yards on the ground in one season mark, according to Heisman.com. In the 11 games that the Trojans played in 1981's magical season, Marcus went over the 200-yard mark in 8 of them. His gaudy total of 2,342 yards rushing went into the NCAA record books, and he added 29 receptions and 23 touchdowns to his Heisman resume. December 5th, 1982, at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, the Cleveland Browns quarterback Brian Sipe set a new franchise record when he had 33 pass completions on 48 attempts for 338 yards on one touchdown and two interceptions. The Chargers' backfield tandem of Chuck Muncy and James Brook, though, each had two touchdown runs as San Diego stole this one 30-13 for the ProFootballReference.com website. December 5th, 1985, the first polycarbonate helmet was introduced. The helmet prevented injuries by players by being lighter than plastic and stronger, according to a story on Atavus.com. December 5th, 1987, the 53rd awarded Heisman Trophy went to Notre Dame's wide receiver Tim Brown. Heisman.com explains that Brown's 1987 game against Michigan State, where he took back-to-back Spartan punts to the house, was the game that put him over the edge in the Heisman voting that season. Touchdown Tim Brown finished his career as the Fighting Irish's all-time leader in pass reception yards with his lofty 2,493 yards, and he also returned 6 kicks for touchdowns. December 5th, 1992, the very first SEC championship game is played as number 2 Alabama outscored number 12 Florida by the score of 28-21 in the final. December 5th, 1998, it took two overtime sessions, but the 98 Big 12 championship belonged to number 10 Texas A&M as they got past number 2 Kansas State 36-33 after the smoke cleared. December 5th, 2002, the NFL and the NFLPA got quite a buzz stirring when they decided to invest in the lower levels of the gridiron by introducing a new product of USA Football. USA Football was the first organization to represent all levels of amateur football, including the Sports Business Daily website story. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Pass when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now I'd like to go over some rapid-fire 2009 conference championships that we got from OnThisDay.com. December 5th, 2009, the season had a big-ticket matchup for the SEC title game as number 2 Crimson Tide of Alabama faced off against the top-ranked Florida Gators. The ranking got moved around in the aftermath, as well as the Tide in a 32-13 one-sided game. Meanwhile, in the ACC championship game on December 5th, 2009, it was a doozy as the number 12 Georgia Tech beat number 25 Clemson 39-34. But December 5th, 2009, an even better game yet was in the 2009 Big 12 Championship game, where number 3 Texas nipped number 21 Nebraska 13-12. It's now that time in our program where we want to go over the Hall of Fame birthdays for this December 5th, and we'll start off in the year 1936 in Riverview, Texas. John Wooten, the outstanding tackle from the University of Colorado, was born. The NFS bio on John tells us that he blazed the path for others to follow, becoming one of the first African-Americans to earn All-America honors as a lineman in 1958. His bio goes on to give the tale of the tape on his blocking, which had the Buffaloes ranked 12th in the nation in 1956 with 252.1 yards per game, first in 1957 with 322.4 yards per matchup, and fifth in 1958 with 249.5 yards per contest. The National Football Foundation selected John Wooten to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2012. November 5th, 1936, in Albert Lea, Minnesota, the fine guard from the University of Minnesota, Tom Brown, celebrated his birth. The NFF's footballfoundation.org bio on Tom sets a remarkable picture of how the Minnesota Golden Gophers were the last in the Big Ten for the 1959 season, and then the next year, they won the national championship. Tom Brown, in 1960, became the interior lineman with the highest vote ranking in Heisman history when he took second in tabulation for the 1960 award. Tom Brown found himself inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2003. After school, Tom played in the CFL with the BC Lions for 7 seasons. December 5th, 1947, in Santa Clara, California, the former quarterback of the Stanford Cardinal, Jim Plunkett, was born. The NFF states that Jim Plunkett set a record at Pac-8 conference and passing in his sophomore season in 1968, only to reset it 2 more times as a junior and in his senior seasons. In 1970, Jim won 28 awards, including the Heisman Trophy and a Maxwell Award, and was a consensus All-America honors. The National Football Foundation voted Jim Plunkett into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1990. December 5th, 1957, White Plains, New York. The University of Syracuse legendary wide receiver Art Monk was born. Monk played at Syracuse from 1976 through 1979 and won the Lambert Trophy for being the top college player in the East, according to his bio on the footballfoundation.org. His great athleticism earned him first-team All-American honors for 1979 season. Art Monk entered into the prestigious College Hall of Fame in the year 2012. After he left Syracuse, Art was a first-round pick by the Washington Redskins in the 1980 NFL Draft. He played 16 seasons in the NFL in Washington, as well as with the New York Jets, and was a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Pro Football Hall of Fame states that his career catches were counted at 940, and he played 183 straight games where he caught at least one pass. Monk was an All-Pro twice and was voted into the Pro Bowl 3 times. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Art Monk the year 2008. December 5th, 1963, in Omaha, Nebraska, Larry Station, a linebacker from the University of Iowa, was birthed. Larry Station was inducted by the NFF into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2009. Well, there you have it. There's your football history headlines for December 5th. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for December 6th football history headlines as we talk about 75,000 look on to watch a Bears game in 1925. Derrick Henry goes 99 yards and Jerry Rice makes a record-breaking catch. To make sure you get notified the second the next edition of this podcast is released, please put your mouse and cursor over that subscribe button on your podcast player and crush it like an offensive tackle hitting a DB. You can also find all the episodes of your favorite podcast provider and on pigskindispatch.com or thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you will also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews on podcasts with all-star casts of podcast hosts and the guests that share some of the history's greatest sports events. So make sure you check it out, and we'll see you tomorrow. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's R-O-W number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20. Check out and keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.